Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, the nominations for the European Parliament's Lux Film Prize 2014 are Bande des Filles, directed by Céline Sciamma, Ada, directed by Pavel Pavlikovsky, and Razredni Sovrajnik, directed by Rok Bishek. Please welcome, representing the French production Bande des Filles, director Céline Sciamma, accompanied by producer Bénédicte Couvreur, and actresses Karija Touré and Assa Sila. Representing the Polish-Danish co-production Ada, director Pavel Pavlikovsky, accompanied by producer Piotr Jencho and co-producer Christian Husum. And finally, representing the Slovenian production Razredni Zovražnik, director Rok Bishek, accompanied by producer Iken Veronika Prozins and actress Dasha Zupevsky.
The winner is Ida by Pavel Pavlikovsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm very honored to be here and to receive this award for Ida. It comes 3 days after our film also won the main prize at the European Film Academy Awards in Riga, which makes it, I suppose, officially the most Europeanest of all European films this year. Which maybe is not surprising, given its author's biography and the fact that he has somehow contrived to live and work in 5 different European countries in one lifetime. With Ida, I returned to Poland to tell the story of a young woman who, questing for truth and identity, unravels all sorts of tragic secrets and paradoxes that have afflicted my country over the last century. Ida is a small black and white film with unknown actors, with no musical score and a camera that doesn't move. It actually sounds like every financier's nightmare. And yet this film has managed to cross all European borders, reaching audiences from France to Hungary, from United Kingdom to Malta. Which maybe proves that art still has a role to play in the cinema today, and that the more personal and specific the film, the less rhetorical and calculating, the more universal its reach. Accompanying Ida around Europe, I was constantly surprised and delighted that in this oblique little road movie across the 1960s Poland, the audiences from Finland to Spain, from Cyprus to Ireland, could see reflected their own history, their own thoughts and emotions. Céline Sciamma said yesterday that cinema is per se a country. I couldn't agree more. But there's always the problem of language, of distribution and advertising, the problem of borders. So I'd like to thank the European Parliament for its help to cross these borders. And as my friend Rok Bishek, the author of Class Enemy, put it, with the Lux Prize, there is no loser, since all 3 nominated films get subtitled and screened all across Europe. Through the Lux Prize, the European Parliament has created new ties among filmmakers and their audiences. It has made possible encounters between worlds that would otherwise not meet. Finally, it has helped thousands of Europeans to share in a common language, the language of emotions that films can still arouse. Thank you very much.
Bonjour tout le monde.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to begin the press conference on the Lux Prize and this year's winner. I don't think I need to tell you who the winner was because President Schulz has already done that. It is the film Ida, and I would like to begin by congratulating the director, Mr. Pavel Pavlikovsky. And I would also like to congratulate the other finalists, Madame Céline Chama and Mr. Rokbicek, who aren't here, but I want to congratulate them anyway. Now, before I give them the floor to tell you about their experience, the Lux Prize and their films, let me give the floor to Mr. Tajani, Vice President of the European Parliament, and also to Silvia Costa, who is the Chair of the European Parliament's Culture Committee. Thank you very much. I think that this prize shows that European cinema is quality cinema. It shows European quality and how different that is. Here we have three different films, three films that are all about young people. The one that won is the story of a young girl who finds out who she is through a lot of different experiences. There is another film that is on the suicide of a young girl at school, and the problems that she has with one of her teachers. So really, they are telling the story. And then the third film is about girls in the Paris suburbs. And it is an attempt to understand the problems of girls in the suburbs of Paris, not only there, of course, but throughout the European Union. And I was before the European Commissioner for Industry, and I think that this is a very important part, European cinema, of our culture, but also of our industry, as it helps us to support the future and tourism too. So I think it is at the very centre of a strategy that we want to maintain. Why have European cinema, European films? Well, because there is a difference between our films and the big American films. They are action films, but I think in European films we try to look at psychology. Europeans like watching European films. Now, of course, there is a problem. American films are films in English. Our films are in different European languages. We've got here a Polish one, a French language film, and a Slovenian language film. But through the Lux Prize and subtitling, we have allowed these films to become real European films, and everybody can watch these films and understand them, which is why we do have to support this, the different European cultural identity, which we are doing through these three fantastic films. And I'm very pleased about the Polish language film that has won. I think it's a lovely film, but I also think that the other two films very much deserve to be on the shortlist of films chosen by our experts. So we here have voted, but there will also be a people's choice, a people's vote, so that European citizens can give their views as well. But we do have to say that congratulations to the director, who's already actually been very successful at the European Film Awards, our version of the Oscars. So he really is a European champion, and we have to defend European champions. We have to defend European culture and identity in the field of cinema as well. That's why we have the Lux Prize. It is there to support our diversity, our language diversity, our cultural diversity. And as Vice President of the European Parliament, I am very pleased that we are still producing such fantastic films in Europe. But we do need to support the European film industry, because if we abandon that, then I think we are also abandoning an important part of European identity and culture. So good luck, well done to the film that won, and also to those that were on the shortlist and almost won, tried to win right up to the very end, but certainly were in the top three. And everybody will be able to go and watch this film or these films everywhere in the EU thanks to subtitling. I don't understand Slovenian or Polish myself, but I've seen the film, or film, three films, and I was able to enjoy the films thanks to subtitling. No point in me going to see a film in Polish or in Slovenian. I wouldn't have understood a word. But thanks to subtitling, I was able to actively take part in the story of these young people, these young girls, the teacher in the Slovenian school, for example, all these different stories. So I myself experienced the importance of having subtitling in all European languages. Thank you very much. Silvia Costa, would you like to add something?
congratulate myself with the winner, with the director Pavel Palikowski for AIDA, and also to congratulate myself with the other two finalists, because I consider the three finalists this year very, very high quality movies with a very sensitive subjects, and a rouge feel, no, a fil rouge entre between among them, because they regard with a specialized the situation in Europe in very different country situation, and also age, no, and also historical period, the situation of the relationships about adolescent and young people, and the relationship between them and adults is a very important contribute that you give also to us as parliamentarians to discover, to understand better, and also I hope to do better our work. Second, I'm very glad because I'm here with some friends as Vice President Tajani and overall Doris Pack. She has been not only past chair of a cultural committee as I am now, but overall because she dedicated so many efforts to this, to the creation of this, to the promotion of this Lux Prize. This Lux Prize is a very, it's a child because it's 8 years old, but is growing very, very speedy. You know that we don't not only we promote this film, these movies around Europe, but also with some special events. For instance, in the last years, we are promoting the subtitle for the winner, but for the finalists. And that's why I imagine also, not only because they are quality movies, but just in these days, we know that the three movies are circulating in many countries of Europe. And someone, I hope some of us, or all of you abroad Europe, that's the challenge that we have to cope with. Also because we have some ambassadors, we name them so, the 20A ambassadors that begin starting from Venice Film Festival of Venice in some years ago. One young cinephile from each country follows the festival of Venice, and during the festival they follow this debate with the authors and so on, and they are very important supporters of the program of Lux Prize, because we, together with the direction of communication of Parliament, and I thanks them a lot, in particularly Marisella and Dietrich, because they are very the column of this project. We support the presentation, the projection of the movie around Europe. For instance, in this year, 50 cities in Europe has this presentation, and also in so many increasing countries. Thirdly, very important underline, as a past rapporteur of Creative Europe, you know that inside Creative Europe there is a media program, very important, media sub-program, a very important program. I'm very proud with the Cultural Committee and with Parliament to have defended the increasing money in this program, 9% more than in past programs in the 7 years before. You know that this program is going on, and I'm very glad to discover that one of these films, Ida, for instance, has obtained some support from European Media Program, and so I imagine that others also can do it. And this is this show that we can combine two things that sometimes are in conflict: the audience development, more access to the culture, but without renouncing to the rights of authors, to the creativity, and to the richness of diversity of our culture. That's the two challenges, the two that we have to cope with, because we know that sometimes also when we will examine the future proposal of copyright and right of authors, I prefer to say right of authors than copyright, we have to combine these two important things. Without creativity and differences, there will be not only the culture, Europe culture, but there will be no anymore the competitiveness of Europe. You have some word to say in the world. And so I'm very grateful to this author, very creative, very intensive, and very deep, because they help us to support the role of culture and education policy inside Europe. I consider I said very lowly because I am not neutral. I launched this cry in these last days that in the program of Juncker, the 10 points of Juncker, the word culture is totally absent. I'm very grateful because there is education in one of the priorities on the investment plan, but that is a contradictory because education and culture go together. And so I hope that in resolution that the Parliament will propose on next January, we will insert more this aspect. Otherwise, we are in contradiction with a very important, fantastic day that we have lived together today in the plenary. Thank you to everybody.
Merci.
Fred Film Radio Interview.
Comme Madame Costa l'a mentionné,
as Ms. Costa said, Ms. Isbeck, coordinator of the Lux Prize, is here and has been with us throughout our work on the prize. I'll now invite Pavel Pawlikowski to take the floor, the winner. Perhaps you'd like to speak a little. I've already said what I wanted to say. Perhaps as it's a press conference, it's better for you to put questions to me and for me to answer them. Otherwise, I could perhaps, you know, give a motivational speech from here. But yes, it's a film about problems. You know, that gets your problems off your chest. You don't need to talk about them for the following year after you've done the film. But I'm here to answer any questions you have. We'll take questions straight away. Yes, go ahead, please. Mr. Rukovic, do you want to add anything?
So we can take the question. Yes, please.
Dzień dobry, Agaton Korzyński, dziennika Polska, The Times.
Good afternoon. My question is addressed to Ms. Pawlikowski. You are a Pole, but you left Poland as a very young child. Is this the Poland that you show us? Is this the Poland that you remember? Well, once again, to what extent what you are showing to us, this is a very personal reflection. It's definitely an imagining reality, something that comes out from my memories. In arts, you never know where things come from, but there is a lot of nostalgia in my movie, definitely.
I have a question to Mr. Pawlikowski. You have a very strong visual in your film. Which directors affected your style?
I've always been impressed with directors who had a visual style. I mean, there was no, you know, I've lived for a long time, so I've been watching films for 40 years, you know, and I had a period of, you know, when I was obsessed with Dreyer, with Bresson, with Godard, you know, the different, or Czech New Wave. So I can't just pin down one. I think, to be honest, I don't think there is a film that looks like Ida that's been made before. One of the inspirations for Ida was not to make a film like they're done today. It was like, what do I not want in this film, and what do I really want? You know, there wasn't. It wasn't trying to imitate anything.
Hi, I saw your fantastic movie in Zadar, where I was a part of the jury, very awarded your movie as the best one. So since then, I wanted to ask you about this frame you choose to shoot the movie and what you tried to achieve with this unconventional way of composing the shots, which are not made in conventional way.
Well, you know, there is a, you know, a journalist always wants like an explanation for everything. In films, everything happens intuitively, you know, it just felt right. It just felt right. Retrospectively, you could sort of make sense of it. To start with, it was a black and white film. That was clear from the start that I want to make a black and white film, and that it would be 4:3, this old-fashioned Academy aspect ratio. And then once I decided on 4:3, at sometimes the shots were a bit kind of boring and square, so I tried to see what happens if we tilt up, just for argument's sake, and it suddenly felt interesting, and so I kept going further and further, you know, with this lot of headroom, and because the camera doesn't move, I also, you know, the whole film is static apart from the last two shots, so I also allow the action to just happen on the edge of the frame, you know, so it kind of looks almost accidental, but it isn't. It is something kind of unnerving about it and kind of tense. So there wasn't like a clear intention, but ever since it's been out on this festival circuit, the critics are making a lot of sense of it and, you know, talk about the absence of God or the presence of God, or, you know, you name it. But, and I'm not against that.
If you'd like to introduce yourself, go ahead.
Yes, hello. Peter Hood from Germany. I have a question to Mr. Pawlikowski. You mentioned in your acceptance speech that all the elements of the film were a producer's nightmare. So what do you attribute the surprising success of the film?
I think because producers, they think in terms of industrial, not producers, financiers, I said, because some producers are sensitive, wonderful people, financiers, who they tend to think in industrial units, you know, like a film that's black and white, then we have half of the audience less. If there's no soundtrack, then hell knows it's going to be emotional because they don't trust the image or the acting. Usually you can raise much less money if you have these givens, you know, so you need really strong and supportive people fighting for it, and it was really difficult to raise money for this one, and I have to thank above all the Polish Film Institute and Opus Films, who's one of the representatives is here, for sticking with the film when it didn't look very promising, when it was we couldn't raise the budget, but they still went with it, and the paradox is that we made the film in the most uncompromising way. I didn't budge on anything, you know, the framing, the black and white, the camera doesn't move, actors unknown. And yet it's paradoxically the film's, you know, gone out into the world and even made some money. So you never know, you know, that kind of industrial thinking is not the same as artistic thinking. And very, very often when the art works and the emotions are there and the form is there, form and emotions, the film cuts through, you know, and I personally believe that always happens. Statistically, it may not always happen, but in the case of Ida, it did happen, and it's a little bit of a, you know, surprise, but it proves my theory, which I've never really believed in. But
hello, Svetoslav Todorov from Bulgaria. How has living abroad influenced your look on Poland's history and identity?
It hasn't intellectually in any way. It's more, you know, there's a strong dose of nostalgia about the whole film, and a kind of love for Poland of a certain period, and a certain type of humanity, which is sort of not around anymore much, not even in Poland, you know. So it was so it's something that I've... a lot of film is driven by nostalgia or by a desire to show... capture something that you love in some way, you know, even if it's complicated, ugly, sinister, but you still love it. I suppose exile has something to do with nostalgia and with the desire to recapture something, you know, so I suppose that, intellectually speaking, it hasn't done anything. Although I suppose if I was living in Poland most of my life, I would be hamstrung by the same complexes that a lot of Polish filmmakers have, you know, how do I explain our history to the people, do I, Do I go into the details, you know, why don't people understand us, you know, to hell with the people, you know, let them not, you know, I didn't have that. I thought, I'm telling a universal story, a universal, you know, talking about universal human condition. Yeah, I wasn't talking about issues, I wasn't talking about anything that can be easily translated back into prose or into political terms. You know. So, and strangely, if you find, you know, the right shape, the, and the right form for the content, for the emotion, then these things kind of fly.
Yeah.
Yes, another question over here. Yes, a question for Mr. Ruček.
C'est votre première.
Over here. From Macedonian Radio Television. Your film is your first film. You come from a small country in size and number of inhabitants, just 2 million. So what does it mean to you to have been nominated for the Lux Prize? And that means, of course, that your film is just is now accessible in 28 countries. And very often we work on the original, and sometimes people don't have the chance to see the subtitles, and very often in festivals it means that you can actually show films that aren't accessible either on television or in films, normal cinemas, I should say.
Yes, Estrina.
Thank you. Yes, I agree with you. The opportunity given to us by the Lux campaign is amazing, not only for the class enemy, the film, but for the Slovene cinema in general. I'm sure that all this support given to Slovene cinema now, in this year, I'm sure that this will contribute to greater visibility of Slovene cinema in Europe, and I hope that the structures of power, so to speak, will recognize Slovene cinema and support Slovene cinema in the future. 4 to 6 films are produced in Slovenia every year, and the total budget for films in general, not just for this film, for films in general, is 4 million euros. This is just a relatively solid budget for a French film. We, however, have to do everything, documentaries, animated films, movies, everything. I hope this will serve as a good signal to Slovene politicians to maybe give a million more, because this is just a drop in the ocean compared to all the expenditure of the entire country. But I would also like to express my support to the entire Lux campaign. And I hope that the European Union will throw even more support behind this campaign, not only the Lux campaign, but other campaigns and programs as well. Maybe in the future we could think about a new program, a program that would support the European film industry in its struggle against, I won't say enemy, but against other forms of cinema that are trying to take us over.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.